Hello everybody, it's John, and this evening I'm talking to Kevin Emmett. Now, this is a name that I'm sure you'll be familiar with as far as the Talking newspaper is concerned, but it may be that some of you don't quite know how Kevin arrived, you know, on the Talking newspaper scene. So I'm going to hand straight over to him, and he's going to tell us all about that.
Thanks, Kevin. Hiya. I work at a pro audio company in Hebden Bridge. And about 7 years ago, 7 or 8 years ago, when the Talking newspaper was looking for volunteers, they correctly thought, well, there's a pro audio company just down the road. Why don't we ask there? So an internal memo went out, and I thought, well, that sounds interesting. And I'm interested in audio, and I work in that industry. Right. So I came down, and I spoke to a couple of the people. And then I think it was only a month later, I think I started volunteering as a recording engineer. So I share that with Trevor Williams, and we do, Trevor does 1 month for the news recording, and I do the next month. And the way that that works is we have readers, well, COVID was different.
Terribly different, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, and it's great to get back to how we were before,
because it's a
community, and everybody sits in the same room, and it's you know, there's more to it than just reading.
It's the fellowship, isn't it?
It's the fellowship, exactly. Yeah, which is great. So we record that. We record it on a little mixing desk. It goes directly onto a PC, and then we produce all the USB sticks that same night, and then they get sent out the next day.
Wow, it's pretty quick.
It's an efficient way to do it, but during COVID, I would describe that as particularly inefficient, because the way that we had to do that, we couldn't meet up.
No.
So we lost all that community social aspect, but all the readers, all the volunteers were great, because what they did is they just recorded everything at home, all the news items at home.
Yeah.
And then they all got sent to me or Peter Gibson.
Yes, yeah.
And then we collated them all, and we continued to produce the edition every month. We didn't miss a month, but it was so much more work, because
I can imagine. Yes,
everybody records. Some people recording a bathroom. Some people recording a wardrobe.
Yes.
Some people recording, I think, on the top of a building.
The wind. Any way you can.
Yeah. So, and the trick to recording the news when you've got is to make the volumes the same. Because somebody has listened to
continuity, isn't it?
Correct. Yeah. Mm. So you don't want somebody to turn it up for one story because it's too quiet, and then suddenly the next one is booming.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of work to try and draw all those in.
Oh, goodness
in
me.
Line with each other.
And it's a bit like on television where the adverts come on. It's really loud.
The adverts are always louder. Yeah. Absolutely. Of course. Yeah. Yeah. So so that's how we. That's how I got involved, and that's what I do.
Right.
Talking newspaper. It's great. It's a great organisation. I love it.
Well, I think so. Yes, I've been very impressed with the way things go. So, well, thanks for that. And right, Kevin. Now, you were saying before we started that you have another interest, and that's making instruments.
Yes.
Now, come on, tell us all about that, because I'm fascinated.
Well, I've made, how many guitars have I made? I think over 50 guitars and ukuleles and dulcimers and some drums.
Dulcimers?
Dulcimers, yeah. So a dulcimer is like a guitar, but with some of the frets missing.
Right.
It's what's called a diatonic scale. And what it means is, in fact, and let me start, let me go back a second.
I'm sorry, I interrupted.
No, it's good. It's all good stuff. So, I started making guitars, three-string guitars, not six-string.
Right.
Although I have made one-string, two-string, three-string, four-string, seven-string guitars. And a six-string. I've only missing a five-string. Okay, maybe one day.
Yeah, right.
I started making them because I'd seen somebody playing a three-string guitar on the internet. And at the time, I didn't have enough money to buy one. I wanted to buy one. I played the guitar. And I thought, well, it's only three strings. It can't be that hard to build one.
Right.
So I did. And I made loads of mistakes. And then I thought, well, I'll build another one and I'll make less mistakes. And then that continued. And I've built 51 now, I think. And I'm still making mistakes.
Yeah.
But to me, that's the joy of it.
If you don't make mistakes, you don't make anything.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's right. And guitars are really, they're really simple. to make. I mean, it's a stick, and then you've got to put it through a resonator. So that can be a box, or it can be a tin, or it can be I've made one out of a bedpan. It can be anything.
Chamber music.
Yeah, chamber.
Oh, that's fantastic. Sorry about that, folks.
And the other thing about making your own instruments is that there are no rules. So you can if you want to have a two-string guitar, tune it however you want, you can do that. If you want to put frets on, you can do that. If you want to have fretless, you can do that. And they're very easy to play because they are tuned as an open chord. So, for example, the strings would be, for example, D, A, D. So the two Ds are an octave apart, or G, D, G. What it means is wherever you, if you strum it open, it plays a G, a D. And to get back to what you asked earlier about dulcimers, on a normal guitar, you have all the notes plus all the sharps. So you would have an A and an A sharp and a B and a C and a C sharp and a D and a D sharp and so on. With a dulcimer, it's diatonically fretted. And so that removes all the sharp notes.
Oh, I see.
And what that means, if you're playing a three-string guitar with an open chord, there are no wrong places to put your fingers. So wherever you put your fingers, it's always a chord.
Oh,
so
right.
Anyone can play them.
That sounds handy.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. I mean, you only need one finger.
Right.
So if you are physically challenged, for example, or you are musically challenged, which I am, those guitars are really simple to play because you genuinely and literally can't go wrong.
Right. But what sort of materials do you use then?
Oh, question. Whatever I can find. So for necks, for example, hardwoods are the best ones.
Right.
I've made them out of doors. I've made them out of old cladding that I found in a skip. I've made some out of a table, an old table, you know, that was skipped. Fernie Lee School years and years ago were getting rid of a load of science worktops, you know, from the science room.
Right.
So I got my hands on one of those and was able to cut that up. And in terms of the resonator, which is
the box,
it just needs to vibrate. And as I say, anything could work. Tins, I always like working with vintage tins.
What, like biscuit tins?
Biscuit tins, yeah. Biscuit tins. Cookie tins, for example. Yeah. And they're great because some of them are beautiful, you know.
They are, but are they not flimsy?
They can be.
Yeah.
So sometimes with the very thin ones, you have to brace them in some way. So, for example, you attach some wood underneath to brace it. But you would with a classical guitar, for example.
Yeah, so they've got bracing, I suppose.
Bracing because the wood is so thin. Because it's...
And, of course, that alters the tone then, doesn't it?
Always alters the tone, yeah. Right. Yeah. And that's another good thing about them. You never know how they're going to sound.
No, of course not.
Sometimes they sound amazing. Sometimes you think, why have I just spent 20 hours building this? Because it's awful. But you can also electrify them quite easily, so you can plug them into an amp.
Yes.
And if you've got an amp, you can make anything sound good.
That's what I think. I just wonder what other materials. So we've got biscuit tins, we've got necks, all sorts of things.
Indeed. Cigar boxes, famously, the cigar box guitar. Yeah. And that, there's historically, those guitars go back hundreds of years, because in the US, where this, I think this movement sort of started and gained ground in the US, people couldn't afford instruments.
No.
Instruments were for fancy dandies, you know, people with money.
Yeah.
So people would make their own.
Well, yes, early settlers, I suppose, just would not have the resources, but yes, a cigar box is there.
Absolutely, and also there's a type of a drum, I made some of these as well, that you sit on. It's like a box that you sit on, it's called a cajon. And it's very popular in South American music. And that's the same thing. So they were fruit crates. That's how they came into being. And that's just tapping out a rhythm.
Yeah.
And people like Bo Diddley, for example, learned to play guitar on a one-string guitar, which is And the name for a one string guitar is a diddly bow.
Ah, right.
Hence his name. I think Jimi Hendrix also first learnt on a one string guitar. Yeah. And people would soon, they would get some sort of competency on those sort of rustic and rural instruments. Mm. And then they would graduate to
more sophisticated ones.
More sophisticated. Yeah. But to me, having attempted to play most sophisticated guitars, you lose some of that rawness and some of that...
Yeah, the spontaneity, I suppose.
Yeah. I think that comes in part from it being so easy to play. You know, so you can just pick it up and you can bang out, even if you're musically incompetent like I am, you can just bang out a tune. So I think part of it is that, and I think part of it is also is that sort of heritage, you know, that sort of... The rawness of it.
Mm.
It's not supposed to sound finessed.
No, it's like skiffle. I mean, that with the old what do you call them, T-chests.
Exactly right. Exactly.
It's the washboards.
The same theory. The same theory. Yeah, skiffle's great for that.
Yeah, like Dolly Parton with the nails. And
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think it's a very. I like it because it's a working class instrument, and actually. You know, you can make one out of one string.
Yeah.
Easily.
But you have to have a key, don't you? So alter the pitch. Now, how do you stop that from sort of undoing itself?
Ah, well, actually, on the guitars that I make, I buy those.
Right.
Those I do buy.
Right. Fair enough.
Things because they are quite important. Although you can make those. So ukuleles, for example, those tuning pegs are friction.
Yes. You know, just push them in and hope for the best, really.
And just hope for the best, but I think for they're not especially sturdy, but you can do that. And if you're making a one string guitar, if you aren't like on a plank of wood, if you've got a plank of wood, and then you put a nail on one side and a nail on the other one, and then you run a string
between,
tie it up, and then if you can imagine, if you put a can or a bottle
somewhere in between.
That creates a bridge, and the other end creates the nut.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually a guitar. There's no frets, but if you were to use a piece of pipe or another bottle, for example, you would shorten the string, which is all a guitar does.
Yes.
And by shortening the string, you change the pitch.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, you can do that in literally minutes and have something. I built one on I built one on the side of my shed. So the shed was acting as a resonator.
Is that right?
I mean, I didn't play it often.
You can't take it many places, can you?
No, you can't. It was the least portable instrument.
I don't know, the lady next door has a double bass and she goes busking with that, which amazed me.
Yeah, she does, yeah.
Wow.
That's an impractical instrument to go busking with, I would have thought.
Well, I've told her this, but it doesn't make any difference. She's very, very good indeed. It was wonderful hearing her.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, right, so you made up, 50-odd of these things?
51.
51, right?
Yeah.
Now, they're obviously not all for you.
No.
Do you take orders?
I have done in the past. I have to admit, if somebody says, can you make me a guitar? And I've said yes, I don't enjoy the process because I feel that there's an expectation at that end. It almost feels like work, and I worry about, what if they don't like it? What if it's not what they were expecting? But if somebody says, I like that, is that for sale?
Right, that's a different matter altogether,
isn't it? Completely different, because they already know what it is.
And that happens, does it?
Yeah, that's happened quite a few times.
So where have you been when that's happened?
I did an arts festival in Saltaire about 8 years ago, and I just had them on display, and I sold 8 at that.
Right.
I've sold some to the US by people who've, through work, who have come over and seen them.
Nice.
I've sold one to somebody in South Africa. I sold one to a professional musician called Derek Trucks, who won a Grammy a few years ago. I think he's won a few Grammys, but the one that I was more concerned with, the album that he won, the old Grammy for, had my guitar on it.
Oh, I see.
So he played my guitar on it, and that was so cool.
That's quite something, wasn't it? Yeah.
That's the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Now, you said you did this art festival and so on. Was that through work?
No.
Ah.
No, right. No, it was...
In your spare time?
In my spare time, yeah. It's, I've been before. It's a good... The Saltaire Arts Festival is great.
Right.
It's a good day out.
So all these are made in your spare time? It isn't through work at all?
Well, good Lord, no.
No, it's, no.
I don't know if it's happening. But, I've sold some, I've given some away, I've swapped them for... bartered them for I was going to say bags of grain. That's never happened, but I would swap one for a bag of grain if any listeners have a bag of grain.
Bag of grain?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, anything.
Bag of some beans, some magic beans.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And I've given some away for gifts and presents.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah, it's people respond well to them, I think, because and people who make them, I've taught a couple of people at the community college in Todmorden how to build them, and they brought their own tin and we discussed what they were after, and then we built one, and that was a joy to do because they've come in with some bits
and
9 hours later walked out with
something that makes
with an instrument that they can play. One of the guys was just playing it all the way out like some sort of travelling troubadour,
right?
You know, because they're so easy to play.
Right.
Yeah,
that's amazing. Do you find yourself repairing guitars? Do anybody said, you know, can you fix this for me?
Yeah, I couldn't fix.
No, you're not in that. So you were saying about working at community college. Do you run a course there then, or how does that work?
We've done a tester course just to see. See if there would be any interest, and actually I think that there's a lot of interest. And running the tester was very useful because it taught me how not to teach building a guitar, because there, you know, the mistakes were made, and there were things where they could have been improved, and they could have, you know, I could have done it quicker and probably less dangerous, if I'm honest.
Dangerous. What danger is that?
Saws.
So, I was going to say, what sort of equipment do you have?
It's mostly hand tools. I would say there are some things that you need to plug in. Like, for example, you can shape a neck with a router quickly.
Yeah, right.
I mean, if I was doing it at home, I would use a spoke shave and files. Because it's such a relaxing thing because you can just melt into it.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're teaching a course in 9 hours, there isn't time.
No, you won't forget it done yesterday, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So most of it is hand tools. There's things like drills and soldering iron for the electrics and, you know, the router, but the rest of it is a lot of blades.
Yeah, so do you get people with disabilities that you've got to be really careful with?
Not really, not yet. But I think, irrespective, I think there's no barriers to it.
No.
I mean, there's no barriers to making instruments.
No, I'm only thinking the sort of, you know, today with health and safety at every verse end, haven't we?
Absolutely.
It takes all the fun out of life.
It does. Yeah. I mean, the number of last year for my birthday, 3 people bought me safety gloves because I've gone through my left hand with so many different things. With a coping saw, I hit the thumb with an axe.
Yes, and soldering irons and knows what.
Oh yeah, soldering irons. I mean, that hand, my left hand is. I'm amazed it's still
functioning.
Yeah, still fully functioning. But that's how you learn. That's how I learn. Yeah.
And are you continuing to do courses and things like this now?
Hoping to, yes, later this year, sort of in the summer.
If any of our readers wanted to get involved,
absolutely,
would that be all right? And how could they do it?
You could contact me either through the Talking newspaper or, in fact, actually, that'd probably be the best way to do it.
Yeah. Seeing as we're talking for the Talking newspaper.
Absolutely.
Right, yes, I see. So that might be something that you never know where it might lead.
Indeed, Okay. And I'd recommend it to anybody, you know, because there's a satisfaction at the end of the process because what you've done, there's a creative element to it, but there's a payoff at the end because you have this object that can continue to bring joy over the years.
As long as it lasts, yes. I suppose they can also modify it themselves once they've seen what you do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, put a different tin cap in, for example,
absolutely.
And get a different sound out of it.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's, I think that's to be encouraged.
Because that's where it comes in, isn't it? The sort of individuality and the using the, your initiative. Yeah,
that's it.
Okay, yeah. Well, thanks, Kevin. That's been absolutely marvellous, and I hope people have enjoyed. You know, the, he's enthusiastic, is this guy. You should see his face. And if any of our readers get half as much enjoyment out of that as I have done, then I think it will have been worth it. So thanks ever so much for that. Thanks for your time.
You're welcome, John.
Thank you.